how do I feel about Facebook? Kind of like I feel about any platform, which is I enjoy it. I'll use it. If it's the best platform for my clients, I'll advise my clients to use it. But I don't want to sound Gary V, but I'm not romantic about the platform. So Facebook dies. Facebook dies. Move on.
Hey, this is Mark Asquith, CEO and co-founder at Rebel Base Media, the UK podcasting experts. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, it's time that I started my own podcast. Because as we know, podcasting is a wonderful way to build audience engagement, a wonderful way to interact and connect with your audience. And it's a wonderful way to build your business. Well, you can get started with your own podcast today for just £1 by checking out Captivate.fm, the world's only growth-oriented podcast hosting company, analytics platform, and distribution center. Go and start podcasting today for just £1 at Captivate.fm.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Marketed Not Live, the podcast for marketers who are looking to their own community to find out exactly what's working now and, of course, what's around the corner. So, you know how it goes by now. In every episode, we're going to bring you a guest to talk about a specific marketing topic that's going to help you broaden your horizons. So perhaps you're really into Facebook ads. Well, let me tell you, this is the episode for you. But if that's all you do, maybe you need to know a little bit more about search or something like that. And that's what we're going to do. So we've got some great guests lined up, including speakers from this year's Marketed Live, which of course takes place on Monday, the 30th of September, 2019 at the wonderful, magnificent Nottingham Contemporary. What a great space it is. Now, it would be great, obviously, if we had you there as well. So do check out Marketed Live online and get your hands on one of the limited number of tickets that are left. It's getting a bit close now. Amazing. Right. Today, we have someone who I admire on many levels. Gavin Bell is a leading Facebook advertising consultant, but is also an incredible blogger. I regularly watch his videos on YouTube that cover technical stuff, but his channel also does give you an insight into his travels, many of which are from his native Scotland. I also admire him for having the balls, quite literally, to walk around in just a pair of soul tight underpants. Gavin's going to be speaking at this year's Marketed Live, and we actually discussed the content across the aisle on a flight back from San Diego. So it's going to be absolutely fantastic. Welcome, Gavin.
Paul, thanks for having me. What a song and what an intro.
Well, it's totally justified. I have, I don't know, we sort of got to know each other a little bit over the last few months. When we met properly, it was probably at CMA Live, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah, that was definitely the first. I think it was maybe email and social first and then CMA and then obviously spend some time together in San Diego.
That was so cool as well, meeting all sorts of people. We've got Paul Raimondo coming on in a couple of weeks. So awesome. That's going to be amazing. I'm going to have to kind of like take some Adderall or something, you know, like something to like calm me down after we do him. So there we go. So I'm expecting that. I've given you a bit of an intro, but I've got so many questions really about what you do. But I want to start off with asking, how do you feel about Facebook these days?
That's a great question. I feel from a, I'll give you a consumer point of view and then I'll give you a business point of view. So from a business point of view, Facebook to me is still, and when I talk about Facebook, I talk about Instagram as well. It's owned by the same thing. Instagram's owned by Facebook. So when I talk about Facebook, I mean Instagram too. And from a business point of view, I feel like it's still the number one place to be able to advertise your products and services to potential customers and get the returns that you want. It's still super cheap as an advertising platform. From a consumer point of view, which is really interesting to me, is so many people now don't use it or say they don't use it and say they don't like it. And I mean, even my own consumer behavior, and that's something that I'm always focusing on, is what do I do as a consumer? Even my own consumer behavior is starting to use Facebook a little bit less. At the same time, my consumer behavior is using Instagram more.
Right.
So Facebook as a whole, I probably still use the same as I always have. Facebook, like the the app. I'd probably use a little bit less. So how do I feel about Facebook? Kind of like I feel about any platform, which is I enjoy it. I'll use it. If it's the best platform for my clients, I'll advise my clients to use it. But I don't want to sound Gary V, but I'm not romantic about the platform. So Facebook dies. Move on.
I think that's becoming more and more something that I hear. I have to kind of try and take myself out of the marketing bubble a little bit, because I'm always conscious of what I know compared to maybe what other people do. But I suppose it's good to look at your own behavior. It's good what you're saying there about, well, maybe as an organization, you're not necessarily on Facebook any less. You're just moving from one piece of functionality to the other. It's just that the functionality is called Instagram and not Facebook.
Yeah, totally. I mean, the perfect example of looking at my own consumer behavior is, I remember, like, I got Snapchat when I was 17, 18 or something. So I got on it straight away and was their target demographic. And it was all my friends were just posting stupid pictures, drunken nights out, all those things. And then I like started to see Snapchat turn into this, like, as the business owners like came onto it and the marketers came onto it and ruined it, as they ruin everything, quote unquote. And they started to, rather than just being like funny pictures and videos, it was them speaking to the camera and putting out marketing messages. Me as a consumer, I was like, this is really boring. I'm not going to use Snapchat anymore. And then I stopped using Snapchat and everyone else stopped using Snapchat. And now we're all using Instagram. And so by looking at my own consumer behavior, I knew that kind of wave was happening. And I think it's so important for us as business owners to go, right, like, from a Facebook ad point of view, like, would you buy from a stranger on Facebook? Like, when you first see their ad trying to sell you something, chances are you'd say no. And if you're saying no, then other people are saying no. So why are you putting an ad up trying to sell something, expecting it to work, if you wouldn't even buy from it? So one of the first things I do whenever I work with anyone is, they're always wanting to go straight to the sale, straight for the kill. But it's about taking a step back. And would you do this? Would you take that action? Would this landing page, would this ad work for you? If not, why not? And how can we address those issues?
And would you suggest then that that's the question that a business would ask itself? And the reason that I ask that is because I'm not like that. I do buy. If I see an ad, I'm like, yes, swipe up. Yes, I need to improve the amount of facial hair on my beard. I'll buy a derma roller. It's free. I just have to pay postage and packaging. That's a bargain. Or, you know, earpods. How many black earpods do I need? So I do have a habit. I have to admit, I bought some temporary tattoos at the weekend because of an Instagram ad.
So that's the thing. So what I would be doing and what we should all be doing is going, okay, so I did buy from this Facebook ad. Why?
Right. Okay.
So was it the free offer, but you only pay postage offer? Was it the fact that they had really cool creative that caught your eye and that's why you bought it? Was it the fact that it was a product for your children and you thought that would be cool for your children and that's why you bought it? So whether you buy stuff, or you don't buy stuff, always auditing that, like, why have I done that? I think is really important.
When people talk about audiences and personas, and, you know, we're not talking ads necessarily, but in marketing in general, we're talking about your avatar and the person that's going to buy it. Is that something that you think we should be factoring into that exercise that we do? So we're not just writing about things like, you know, what do they like? What do they dislike? What TV programs do they watch? Should we be thinking about what are their buying habits? How are they likely to react to adverts?
Yeah, 100%. Totally agree. I mean, if you take a look at, I think one of the most important things is how much money do these people typically earn? Now, I work a lot with people in the health space over in the US, and they're always wanting to go after high earners. So that is a massive part of our targeting and who we're going after. And if you're I don't know, let's say you're a business that operates targeting people like those people, like the health clients who are looking for high earners, then your messaging, your targeting is going to be vastly different to potentially low earners. So I think we need to be looking at not just the what TV programs, and this is Sally who's 23 and likes watching Jeremy Kyle. It's what's she interested in? What level of commitment can she take on right now? How much money is she willing to invest in? What's her buying habits look like? Like one of the things that I've done in the past is I had a Facebook group, and I thought, based on what I was looking at and my peers, so people in the marketing space were doing, is creating courses. So I thought, I have to create a course. But I actually went and surveyed my Facebook group and found that 81% or something of people that responded wanted a membership. And so I built a membership.
Right.
But that was, so it's digging deeper into the consumer and not just looking at like what are they interested in, but what are their buying habits? What are their relationships like with the people they work with? And these deeper questions actually mean a lot more.
And I think what we're saying here then is that that's worth the investment in time in working that out before you just, I don't know, I guess, whack an ad on there. Because the thing is about these social platforms in particular is that it's very easy to spend money with them. You know, you can boost a post. Facebook tells you this is doing really well. Is it? This is doing really well. You know, just boost this. Or on Instagram, you know, the same thing. So they make it very easy to do, and the temptation is just to go, yeah, I'll do a bit of that. I'll get it out in front of more people. But of course, that doesn't necessarily bring in. It doesn't meet their objectives. It may get them seen by more people, but it doesn't necessarily help them. So what are the sort of basic steps that you think a business should be looking at before they decide to create an ad?
Great question. I mean, what you've just explained there is probably one of the biggest mistakes that people make, which is Facebook will notify them to say, your post is doing well, boost it to reach more people. And they'll also notify you to say, your post isn't doing well, boost it to reach more people. And before you know it, you spent $5 here, £10 here, end of the month, you spent $300-$400 and you've not got anything back.
No.
What's actually going on there is you're, like, if you boost a post on Facebook, you're actually telling Facebook to go out and find more people or to go find people that are likely to engage with that ad. Not necessarily buy, not necessarily click, but engage. So likes, comments, shares. That's why oftentimes you'll hear people say, oh, I get likes, comments, and shares, but I don't make any money back. It's probably because you're doing that boost thing. But Facebook has obviously found out that's the way that they can earn the most money. Mm. So what you want to do first and foremost before you create any ad is say, like, who exactly is our perfect customer? And kind of like we just alluded to, ask those deeper questions. If you can, go out to your current audience or go out to people and survey them to find out what their biggest problems are, how they want to learn, how they want to overcome that problems, and then you can create that solution for them. And what we want to do is to, rather than just focus purely on creating ads and going out to people and trying to get them to come into your business straight away, is we want to focus on actually creating good content. Content that people actually want to see. I always use the kind of analogy that if you stick an ad up on Facebook and you boost it out to random people saying, oh, I've got 30% off this offer, this product or service, that's the online equivalent of going out into the street and shouting to people, I've got this 30% offer, come and buy my stuff. Nobody is ever going to come and buy that from you. So what we want to do is actually get ourselves in a position where we're providing value first and we're building an audience, we're building trust with a group of people. And then what we can do is in Facebook, use retargeting ads, which is where we essentially create an ad and serve it to people that have already consumed our content. Maybe they've been on our website, maybe they've watched our videos, and then make an offer there. And by that point, they've already consumed content from us. Hopefully they know who we are, they like us, they trust us. And so they're much more likely to take that next step.
And okay, so we've got content marketing basically here. And are we talking about creating any specific type of content that's gonna work well in that initial phase? I mean, does it need to be video that we need to create? Do we need to create a video ad to get them into this sort of remarketing funnel?
Yeah. Well, this is where I start to look at the platform itself and what are the goals of the platform. One of the things that we need to always remember is whenever we're using Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, whatever it may be, any of these platforms, we're playing to their rules. So we want to ask ourselves first and foremost, like, what do Facebook want? And Facebook have three goals: more people on the platform, spending more time on the platform, because that means that they can get more ad revenue. So when we create content, we need to think about how can we help Facebook achieve those goals. So video is the best, because if someone is watching a video, they're actively spending time on the platform. Whereas, for example, we write a blog post and we stick a post up with a link to the blog, we're actually actively taking people away from the platform, which works against us. And that's when Facebook will start to constrict your reach, and that's when people complain that Facebook's giving them no reach. So we want to create content that, if possible, and this is the hard part, keeps people's attention on the platform for longer. Facebook will then share that to more people. So what you really want to be doing is two things: creating content that keeps people's attention. So we need to bear in mind the platform that they're on. For example, if it's Facebook, you don't want to be making a 2-hour long video. You want to be keeping it relatively short. But you also want to be creating something that is relevant to your business and is relevant to the offer that you want people to take up, so that if someone watches that piece of content, you know they're a potential customer of yours. And I'll give you an example. Let's say that you are a guitar tutor. You want to be creating video content that is things like how to, and I'm just making this up, how to play the G chord on the guitar. Now, the people that are going to be watching that video are people that want to learn how to play the G chord on a guitar. You're not going to get random Betty on the street that's interested in knitting watching that video, because she's just not interested in it. She doesn't want to play the guitar, which is good. But that means what you get is, if you get, let's say, hundreds or thousands of people watching that video of how to play the G chord, you know that they're all people that want to learn how to play the guitar. And if you've then got a guitar course or a guitar membership or something along those lines, to be able to retarget those people, you know that they're your perfect customer. And so by creating this content, understanding who our customer is first, then creating this content and developing this base, this audience of people, we know that that audience of people are our perfect customer. And so we don't need to work as hard to determine who they are, what they're interested in, and those sorts of things. Our content is doing that for us.
And that's when you're going to what the next stage, which is maybe to then talk about product? Or would you say that there's a length of time or a number of occasions when people should be seeing that added value content before talking about offers or a course or driving people to something offline, not offline, but off the platform to sign up or to purchase?
That's going to come down to the level of commitment that you're asking someone to take. So if you are, let's say we send we've got a 90 second video, how to play the G chord. If we're then trying to get people to sign up to a £1,000 course, chances are it's not going to happen, because that 90 seconds isn't building enough trust for someone to take that level of commitment. If you're asking somebody to come and sign up to a 6-week in-person guitar tutor course, again, the level of commitment there is probably a little bit too high. However, if you're asking somebody to sign up for a 7-day free trial to your guitar membership, then that might be enough, because it's a low barrier to entry. Or maybe you're looking to give them a free guide on how to play all the guitar chords, and all they have to do is give you their email address and phone number in return. So it's not necessarily about when to talk about products, how many days to wait, how many touch points, but it's more about commitment levels. And there's no right or wrong answer, to be honest, and how long to wait, what level of commitment. It's all about testing. So one of the things, I'll just give you an example. My business that I've tested is, do I need to send people a piece of content first before I ask them to sign up to a $1 trial for my membership? Or do I need to get them to download a free guide or go through one of my lead magnets before I make that offer? And through a bit of testing on Facebook, I've found actually it's cheaper for me to go straight for a $1 offer than it is to send them a piece of content first. Okay. Because that commitment level of $1 is actually pretty low. Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying there, I find really interesting, because what I was saying about me buying from Instagram or whatever, totally equates what you've just said, because I am not you know, immediately going to buy a ticket to Web Summit, which is something that I'm constantly fed to, or Semrush, which is another advert. I don't know if you've seen the Semrush adverts where the guy who owns a dental practice in Liverpool. Have you seen this?
I've not seen that one.
It's a guy who owns a dental practice in Liverpool. He has the whitest teeth you have ever seen. Right, so obviously he's good. Talking about how using Semrush has, you know, helped drive traffic and totally improve their business. So I don't swipe up for those ads, to be honest, or the big events where there's more of an investment. But your $7.99 or your cheap temporary tattoo or something like that is totally, well, you know, relatively disposable, I guess. And the commitment level is low. So that does play out with what you're saying.
Yeah, it's also understanding what people are typically doing on a specific platform. So if someone's on Facebook, chances are they're there wasting time, like sat on the toilet waiting for their wife to come out of the changing room, like legit. So that's okay when people are on the platform. So are people going to make a £2,000 buying decision when they're sat on the toilet? Chances are they're probably not. But if it's a temporary tattoo for $4.99, you know, yeah, and it's got Apple Pay, so it takes you like 30 seconds to buy it, then yeah, chances are someone probably will.
So it is about customer journey and understanding what that is. And if we're going to do the work, plotting out our customer personas and their behaviors and so on, it's also marrying that up with the thing that you're selling and what the likelihood is that, you know, what that journey is, whether it takes one touch point, seven touch point, 25 touch point, whether it takes a phone call or a meeting. You know, so for example, for my business, there's no way that I would get a client just by social media. It just doesn't happen that way for me. I need to meet them, I need to speak to them, whether virtually or in person. That's the customer journey that works. So the type of advertising that my service-based business needs to do, I guess, is what, more about awareness and about driving people maybe to look at the website?
Yeah, or looking at, so...
Or landing pages and free downloads and all that kind of thing that happen too.
Yeah, so exactly. So you said that your customer journey is typically we get on a phone call and we meet someone. And I've got a similar business to you. So one of the funnels that we use for the business is driving people from Facebook ads to what we call a case study funnel, which is we drive people to an opt-in where they can see how we've worked with a client before. And from there, they can then book into my diary to book a call if they want to. So you're going, right, so let's just say that the main offer, I'm just making these numbers up, the main offer is £5,000, which is working with the agency. How do we get, what's the step before that? It's a phone call meeting, okay? So what's the step before that? That someone comes to the website and applies for a call. Okay, so that is the lowest commitment offer that we can make, which is booking a phone call or a consultation. So we need to then build an advertising campaign around that, not necessarily the £5,000 package.
Yeah.
So it's, again, the commitment level, where people are at in their journey, how well they know us, and marrying, it's a good term that you use, marrying that up.
You know, I read somewhere, I don't know where it was, but I read something like, and don't quote me on this because this is from memory, something like only 8% of businesses advertise on Facebook or Instagram or social or whatever it was. That seems very low to me. So what is the opportunity for those businesses that maybe go, well, yeah, I've done a few boosted posts and, you know, yeah, I know I should do it. What's the real opportunity for those businesses who don't advertise?
Yeah, I mean, it's Facebook is a platform, and again, don't quote me on this, but go back to the early days of AdWords, where it was much cheaper than it is to advertise on AdWords now. That's where the opportunity was, when the opportunity was. AdWords is still a great platform, but it's more expensive now because these advertising platforms are based on an auction. So the more people that come and try and advertise, the more expensive it becomes to advertise on that platform because there's limited space on Facebook to advertise.
Yeah.
So right now, I mean, if that figure is correct, then it just shows you why Facebook is still, and Instagram is still a great platform to advertise on. And it's still in its early days in terms of the cost of it. It's still, I'm not going to say it's easy, but it's only going to get harder to advertise on Facebook and Instagram. So if you are looking to advertise on Facebook or Instagram. Now is the time to go and learn everything you can and start spending your money on it, because it's only going to get harder.
And I think something that Gary Vee did say, I think, was that, you know, something like there's 2 years left or something like that. I think I heard him say that. Anyway, there's 2 years left before either people are priced out of it or something like that. I mean,
yeah,
you're totally right with Google and even like LinkedIn, because LinkedIn's expensive, really.
Oh, super expensive. I mean, I'm not sure whether it's 2 years, 5 years, however many years, but as soon as brands finally start taking their advertising spend away from TV, so you're talking six-figure budgets, that will start to squeeze out the smaller advertisers on Facebook that are able to, I mean, like on Facebook right now, you're able to, for example, you can afford to target an audience of 1 million people when you're only looking for 10 of those 1 million, and you can afford to waste your advertising spend on the vast majority, the 99% of people that are irrelevant, to find that 10, because it's still cheap enough to do so. There'll become a point where that's not possible. And so it becomes much harder to advertise. Not that it's impossible, but it'll become much harder, and you'll need to know your audience even more, and your offers are going to need to be even better, and your content's going to be it's going to have to be better, because when the big spenders come to the platform, they'll be able to just spend, which drives costs up for smaller advertisers, and they then have to work harder.
That's really interesting. I hadn't thought of that actually in terms of the changing of consumer behavior with TV, because I mean, more and more people are watching things like Netflix and Amazon Prime and you know, stuff that's on demand where you're paying your subscription, so you don't get adverts there, do you? You know, so you're sort of reliant on either, I know, with things like All4 and ITV Hub and all that kind of stuff that they force the adverts on you, but yeah, as soon as those big brands whittle down that span, there's only probably one place that they're going. So how does a small business then get their ad noticed with a small budget? Is there any particular type of ad that you see works particularly well? Whether, in fact, actually, let's just take out spend for a moment. Any particular type of ad, whether it's a particular campaign objective or a format or something like that, that seems to be getting better results than others?
I think the main thing I would say here is move away. And this is from, I don't have anything wrong with boosting posts as long as there's a strategy behind it and you understand what you're doing. But I think what the majority of people that are boosting posts don't have is a proper advertising strategy. And I would move away from boosting posts and start to learn up on how to build campaigns through what's called the Ads Manager, which is where you go and you create a campaign and you can choose different objectives. And if you are trying to drive leads, sales, any sort of specific action that you want someone to take, whether that's book a consult call, take you up on an offer, download a free guide, buy something, sign up to a webinar, use the conversions objective, but ensure that you've got all the tracking installed on your site so you can actually track what's going on. One of the almost simplest and kind of light bulb moments, but I still fail to see so many people doing, is having a grasp on the numbers. So ask yourself, how much is a customer worth to us? How much are we willing to spend on a customer? Then set up all the tracking on your website. And when you start running ads, you can start to track things like, how much is it costing us to get a lead? How much is it costing us to get someone to sign up for a phone call, for example? Let's say it costs us £10 to get someone to sign up for a phone call with us. Then how many calls on average is it taking us to turn one of those people into a client? And how much is a client worth to us? And then working that out, is that profitable or not? And so it's turning this whole Facebook thing into, rather than just boosting posts here, there, and everywhere, but turning it into almost like a maths game of everything's predictable, everything's consistent. If something isn't working, why is it not working? Where is it not working? What can we do to try and make it work? And just constantly turning the knobs until eventually you'll have something that works. Unfortunately, that type of detail is too much to go into on a podcast, but that is what we want to achieve from Facebook. And that's what's possible from Facebook is, and I say Facebook, but to be honest, it's any online advertising, because we can track everything that goes on. We can track how much we spend, the actions that people take on our sites. So turning it into spending money here, there, and everywhere to, okay, I know how much I'm spending. I know what that's giving me, and we're making profit or we're not.
It's about the data. There's a lot of episodes of this show where we've spoken to people, and it does come down to data, or whether it's Google Analytics or Facebook ads or even landing pages and funnels and all the rest of it. It's data, and it's having that knowledge to make informed decisions rather than just gut instinct. Gut instinct's great, but you know, if you've got the data to back it up, then it makes it repeatable, I guess.
Yeah, totally. I mean, one of the most dangerous things in advertising is making an assumption. I assume that this will work because I know that my customers like pictures of dogs. It's like, no, try it, see whether it works, use the data to tell you that has worked or not. Never assume.
Just one quick question before we go on to a little bit of quick fire questions. And when we're doing testing, how long should we leave things before tinkering with it? Because I'm a bit of a fiddler. Yeah. And, you know, I need to stop that, really.
you're not alone in that. I mean, it tends to rely on, depends on budget. If you've got a massive budget, you get more data quicker. So it comes down to the data. But as a general rule of thumb, I would say when you set a campaign live, don't touch it for 2-3 days. Just leave it. Ignore it, forget about it, then come back and see. I mean, if we're going for a conversions campaign, like downloads of a guide, for example, first of all, you want to look at, have we got any results? If so, how many have we got and how much is that costing us? If we've not got any results, then we start looking at things like the click-through rate. Now, we typically want to get a click-through rate of between 1% and 2% or above 2%. So if we've got a click-through rate of that, that would tell me that our ads are performing well, resonating well, but people aren't downloading when they get to the landing page. So maybe we need to tinker with that. So as a general rule of thumb, 2-3 days after going live, and then after that, like between 1 and 2 days, I feel like you get a good understanding. But whenever you're doing a tinker, always make sure that you're doing it in a way that you can test that new tinker versus what was going on before. So you can see, for example, if you're changing the image in an ad, don't just change the image in the ad that's already running, duplicate it, create a new one and change the image. Because then we get a split test on the old one versus the new one, and we can see whether something worked or something didn't work. Mm-hmm.
Okay, all good stuff. Now I've got some questions to ask you. These are standard questions that everyone's been asked. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, right. So, you know, you obviously see a lot of ads and you do a lot of ads yourself for your clients. What about things like marketing in general? Who's killing it in marketing right now?
Who's killing it in marketing right now? You know what? I am going to say FIFA with the Women's World Cup. I think are absolutely killing it.
Right. Why is that?
And I'm not, you know what? I don't actually know whether it's FIFA that are down to that, but like, Scotland women's football the other week against Jamaica got 18,000 people coming to the game, which is a record, incredible. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, that all comes down to marketing.
Yeah, it's very visible now, isn't it? I mean, there's obviously some politics there in making sure that it is, but yeah, they've obviously marketed it well. I mean, they do look a lot fuller than they did in the last Women's World Cup, that's for sure.
Totally, and I feel like it's come like almost out of nowhere where I'll put my hands up and say, never really watched women's football, never really knew anything about it until like the last few months where it's been everywhere. And you know what? I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, it is really good. Right. Okay. What's the best technology that you're using at the moment?
Oh, wow. Just moved into my new home. And it's just not very businessy, but we've got like Alexa in every room, and Alexa's controlling our lights, controlling our heating, controlling our TV. So it's controlling everything, and absolutely loving that right now. And I guess the business implications of that are, and looking at our own consumer behavior, if I'm now using voice technology for pretty much everything I do around the home, how can we implement that into our businesses?
Yeah, well, although, you know, there's the whole question around what, you know, it's all gathering data. What's going to be used that data for in you know, 10, 15 years time? That's a whole different topic, which we haven't got time to go down. Right, best podcast that you're listening to, if you do listen to podcasts, which I think you probably do.
Yep. But controversial one, actually, probably, which is really, despite what people typically say and despite what I've maybe said about him in the past, I really enjoy Logan Paul's podcast.
Okay. Because?
Logan Paul. I just find he's got some really interesting characters on there, like people that you would never normally expect to listen to. Like he had Jordan Belfort, the Wolf of Wall Street on there, which is really interesting. He had a group of guys called Yes Theory, which I'm a fan of. Like just really interesting conversations. And if you've seen Logan Paul's videos online where he's a bit crazy and, is just crazy, there's almost like a different side to him on his podcast where he's a little bit more human.
He's kind of got to do that though, right?
Totally. Yeah, absolutely.
He's got some work to do there.
So yeah, controversial, but I'm really enjoying that, to be fair.
I don't think that's controversial at all. I think the thing is with that is that it's all about conversation. And I think the one thing that I really love about podcasts that work very well is where people are having a conversation. I mean, you know, I like segmented shows and all the rest of it, but I do like a good chat. And I think, you know, it doesn't have to be about business or marketing or anything like that. There's too many of them. Okay, right. You work in ads. What's a great ad, TV, radio, online that you've seen?
Good question. Interesting. It is so interesting. The first thing that came to my head is the taxi company in Edinburgh, because they've got a stupid jingle that has never left my head since the first time I heard it, which is like 777777777, call 77s for taxi heaven. Like that's stuck with me, and it's a radio ad and I work in digital ads, but
I know one from many years ago, which I haven't heard from for years, but I always remember Alan's Taxis, Coventry 555555. You dial, we'll drive. You know, brilliant. You know, I remember it. It must have been like 20 years ago.
Yeah. The ironic thing is I would never use them because I'm an Uberman. Right. But I remember it.
Brilliant. Okay, right. I'm so looking forward to having you down and speak at Marketing Live in Nottingham in September. Why should people come and see you?
Oh, I can't wait. People should come see me because we're going to talk about what we've spoken about here. We're going to talk about how to create ads that, you know, aren't annoying and actually work. So ads that don't piss people off, but help you build your business, become more profitable and scale at the end of the day. And we're going to do it in a way that's fun, energetic, engaging, and I'll be getting you involved in the audience as well.
Excellent. I knew you'd do something. I've seen Gavin talk and it is brilliant, and that's the reason why we've asked him to come and speak at Marketing Live. You honestly will not regret coming to see him if that's where you're going to come. Thank you, Gavin, so much for being on the show. Where can people get in touch with you? Tell us a little bit about the course that you've started. Where can people kind of work with you?
Yeah, I mean, the best place to go is go to mrgavinbell.com, and my social handles are Mr. Gavin Bell everywhere. So you can probably just stick it in Google and I'll pop up. And the membership that we launched about 2 months ago is basically walking people through the whole, if you're at that stage where you're boosting, you're spending money here, there and everywhere, it's not really working, how to create a system that actually works for you. And we have weekly coaching calls. So as you go through the video training, you actually get hands-on support with what you're working on. So it's awesome. We're seeing some great results, and that's what it's all about.
It's going to be brilliant. Right. Thank you so much, Gavin. We'll see you in September.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, that's all for this episode of Marketed Not Live. If you've enjoyed today's show, please leave us a review on the podcast platform of your choice and head spread the word about this and about Marketed Live 2019 on the 30th of September, weeks away. Now, do remember that our event brings together experts from all of those marketing disciplines. So if marketing's your thing, or you're doing marketing for your business, or it's just of interest to you, then, you know, we need to see you there. So visit marketed.live for all the info on speakers, travel options, accommodation. Read the blogs from all of your fellow attendees and speakers and get involved in our community. We'll see you next time.